You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This week, the online real estate company Trulia released a study that caught our eye. Millennials are buying homes at the same rate as previous generations. They're just waiting till they're a little bit older than their Generation X and baby boomer counterparts. Now, this study, and it's only just one study, goes against conventional wisdom that pins sluggish home sales on millennials foregoing that big purchase. Of course, not everyone under 30 wants a dream home. Some people are just looking for a space to dream. Take this story from Sarah Merck.
The biggest thing I own is my mattress. Some people have trucks or boats or houses or heirloom chests of drawers or ambitiously large desks or ill-conceived contemporary art pieces. But the most impressive thing I own is just this big, squishy rectangle. It might not seem like much, but getting this mattress was a major life step for me. When I first moved to Portland, Oregon 6 years ago, I was determined to furnish my room only through things I could get for free. This sounds like a bohemian ideal, but factoring into my ethics was the fact that I was dang near broke. The truth, though, is that even when I got a job, soon after Obama was inaugurated, I was scared to buy anything remotely nice, like a blender or a sofa that didn't smell like cats. So when a roommate offered me his old futon frame and pad from the basement, claiming it was like sleeping on a cloud, I gladly took him up on the offer. That futon turned out to be a cloud made of stabby wooden railroad slats. But it was my accursed futon now, and I was grateful. I know I'm supposed to view large, expensive items as investments. I feel like I'm supposed to go into debt for things because they'll wind up helping me in the long run. But I came of age in a time when the absurdity of the whole credit system became tragically clear. The people running the economy reminded me of Gene Wilder's version of Willy Wonka. Mysterious men running around, gleefully pulling levers that unleashed sweet rewards on some and chaos on others. When I was a kid, I remember debt stalking my parents like a silent, gloomy cloud. The day they finally paid off their credit cards, they cut them up in front of me, and we ordered pizza to celebrate. Years later, I spent a week helping tear down sodden houses in Mobile, Alabama, after Hurricane Katrina tore through and flooded whole neighborhoods. I spent days shoveling people's possessions into giant piles in the gutter, carpets, entire moldy bookshelves, waterlogged TVs. All signs seemed to point to the conclusion that big possessions, requiring a mortgage and a car payment and a cable bill, would become an anchor, dragging me underwater. I realized, slowly, that I'm not a bohemian free spirit. I'm a frugal cynic. Back on that horrible slab of a futon, I toughed out the nights for 2 years, until my very sweet new boyfriend finally cracked. He told me in no uncertain terms that I either needed to get an actual mattress or he was never sleeping at my house again. But I protested, I can't just buy a mattress. Yet he had a point, so I dutifully went to IKEA on the bus and walked up the trail to the bedroom section to the gauntlet of modernist bed frames, eyeballing prices. Around me, cheerful couples were buying mattresses, joyfully betting on a stable future full of new furniture and reliable middle-class jobs. That's the IKEA spirit. I felt so out of place that I turned heel and left in defeat. After another night, gathering my resolve while lying on the wooden planks, I gave it another shot, heading to a family-run mattress store near my house. It was empty when I walked in. Without the oppressively upbeat surroundings, I actually liked looking at the beds. I flopped on one after another. They were so comfy. It dawned on me that a bed was not a dangerous luxury item that would trap me. This was a bed. Come bull market or bailout, you need a bed. It's okay to buy something that I'll appreciate for years and years, I realized, even if I don't know what those years will look like. I paid $300 for a springy queen-size mattress, and I felt good. I've had that mattress for 4 years now. At the end of each chaotic day, it's nice to come home to a stable and cozy place. And besides, worst case scenario, it can always double as a life raft.
Sarah Merck is the host of the podcast, Popaganda.